I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
Go, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome. We have something that I think is very important to discuss. I've been working and broadcasting and talking consulting about Amazon for about 4.5 years ago, and it's mostly been about private label for me. For me, Amazon was private label. I heard about this retail arbitrage stuff, but it sounded like a crazy amount of hard work. But the trouble with private label is it's very, very capital intensive. And also, when it wins big, and when it loses big as well. It's a bit like a roulette wheel, as somebody put it to me the other day, rather than blackjack. So for a long, long time, I've been looking for ways to de-risk the process for myself and my clients. And I really think that we found an excellent model. And that model is wholesale, which doesn't have to be instead of private label, can be as well. And the truth is that some of my most successful clients have been doing that privately for a couple of years. I've been observing them. They've been doing it in some cases for decades. So I was very jealous to find out how they did it. And then I was approached by Dylan and Dan from the Wholesale Formula, and they have shown me how it's done. So very excited, Dylan, to invite you to talk about the wholesale model, quite a different thing from private label. Welcome.
Hey, yeah, I'm excited to be able to share. Absolutely.
Sure. Great. So the first thing is, what do you mean by wholesale? Is it kind of the same as retail arbitrage? You go down to a car boot sale. What is the basic sort of idea behind this?
Yeah, so I can walk you through how our business got started, how we got to where we are now, how we figured this out, and how we call wholesale and how we run our business is quite a bit different than maybe what you've heard from other people or in the past, or what you think that the traditional model is. It's quite a bit different. So we got started selling on Amazon quite a few years ago, 2011, and we got started with a $600 credit card. We come from Eastern Kentucky. It's the poorest part of the United States. It's a very rural part of the United States. I grew up single mother. Dan grew up with a single mother. Both of us grew up poor. And I performed very poorly in school, so poorly that I couldn't even get into university. They wouldn't accept me in because my grades were so low and so poor. But luckily, pretty soon after that, we were able to get into the opportunity of selling on Amazon and able to have a lot of success. So, well, I'm going to talk about wholesale. Oh, yeah. And we've done over $25 million in sales since we've started as well, and which has been great. So I'll talk about what we do and how it's very different than what most people think of when they think about wholesale. So most people, the traditional form of wholesale, what they do is they contact a wholesaler or a distributor. It's just a company that carries tons of different brands, all kinds of different products, and you're able to order from those wholesalers or distributors products, which means to be able to find profitable products, you'd have to go to a wholesaler or distributor, look through their giant catalogs of products or giant spreadsheets that could have thousands or tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands of products and try to compare them to see if they're worth selling on Amazon and what price you would pay. And there's a problem with all this, and it takes forever to do any of the research. And the other problem is you're paying a little bit of a higher price. You're paying a premium to buy those products because it's through a wholesaler or a distributor. You know, they have to make money too. So when they list a product on their catalogs, it's marked up a little bit. And it's just a very difficult process to be able to succeed. And another problem with that traditional wholesale is that anyone has access to do it. There's no limiting factor, right? Anyone can find that those same products in that catalog, the same as you did, and buy. And so products become more competitive if they're good because more people find it. And there's no barrier of entry for it, right? So what we do instead, and what we decided, like what we figured out was, let's just skip the wholesalers. Let's just skip the distributor. Let's just go straight to the source of the product, right? Instead of trying to find products that are good in these catalogs, let's find a product that's good on Amazon, a good brand, a good product that's already selling well, right? Hundreds of times every month on Amazon. And let's just go to the source. Let's try to contact the company, the brand, the IP rights owner themselves. So that's what we've done. When we find a product that looks successful, we have a mathematical formula that we use on Amazon to determine about how many, if we were to sell this product, how many times we would be able to sell it every month. And so if we find something that looks good, we would be able to sell it a reasonable amount of times. We will just Google the company, right? We'll Google the company, try to find their website, and then email them or call them. And then they'll pick up the phone, they'll answer, and we'll just try to open up a direct account with the company, a direct buying account, right? So that way we're buying at the lowest possible price, right at the top of the supply chain. So there's no markups with wholesalers or distributors, right? Buy direct from the company. Now you'd be thinking, if you're buying direct from a brand, they're probably minimum orders have to be like tens of thousands of dollars, right? And the answer is no. Actually, the average or minimum order when you buy direct from a brand is like $250 to $500. It's actually very low. So you don't have to buy large quantities to order direct from brands. But there is a caveat to this. Brand, when you're going to buy direct from a brand, and this is actually the best part about this business model and why this business model can be so successful. And it's going to sound kind of counterintuitive, but most things in business are when you find out how to do them right. So the best thing about buying direct from brand owners is that they don't want you to do it. It's just kind of interesting, right?
Yeah, I like it.
Right. When you call and you try to open up a direct account with them and you tell them I'm going to be selling on Amazon, they say, we're not accepting any new Amazon retailers right now. We're good there. And that's the best part about it, because that is the barrier of entry. That means everybody else that's calling them trying to set up a direct account to get those direct prices, those lowest possible prices, they're turning them away. So how we've been able to succeed and why our business has been so successful is because we've learned the strategies to be able to negotiate and convince the brand owners that we are a fantastic high level Amazon retailer for them and for them to approve us. And then we demonstrate all the values that we can bring them on the marketplace. I can walk through all kinds of examples of what that would look like and how we've been able to succeed with that if you'd like.
The answer's got to be a yes, but I've just got to reflect on some differences. So when you say the minimum order investment is only a few hundred dollars, I mean, presumably you're talking about,
Yeah, that's just like for most brand owners, like that's just a minimum amount that you have to order to be able to actually make an order. That's the average that we see between like $250 and $500 is all the minimum amount of product you have to purchase to be able to buy direct.
Great. I just want to reflect on if you do that in China, you're going to be getting some sort of very unbranded product with an unproven sales history. So that's a very, very much low. I would say probably at least 10x lower than the minimum you need to get started with a private label product. So I also like the fact that you pointed out that there is the barrier to entry that is a good thing. And you're absolutely right. If everyone else can do what I want to do, I'm already worried. So I like the fact. So obviously a lot of brand owners do reject people who approach them to sell on Amazon, because I guess they've got a lot of existing Amazon sellers already, right? Can you talk us through a little bit about, for me, I perceive that as the biggest problem to solve. How do you go around sort of persuading people to work with it?
Yeah, exactly. So just so everyone's clear, right? When we purchase from the brand owner, the IP rights owner, for us, it's primarily domestic. We do millions of dollars of sales every year here based in the US, and 98% of the companies that we buy from are all American companies. It's all domestic. Everyone that we're calling is domestic for us. We have our best wholesale account's Canadian. We've got one in Italy, but the rest are all US-based rights owners and brand owners. Now, they may have their product manufactured in China or a different country, but that doesn't matter and affect me, because when I order it, it's already in the United States. They may have had it made in China, but now it's sitting in Texas or something like that, right, when I order it. So when I get a wholesale account and I order my product, it's live and selling on Amazon within a week, which is very different than if you're, you know, importing from China or things like that. You can get a wholesale account and you're making sales in a week. And that's another great thing about it, because you're earning money quickly that you can reinvest again quickly, so you can grow extremely quickly as well. So I wanted to be clear about that, too. And it would work the same way for anyone that's listening that's in the UK, right? You can, if you wanted to, you can focus on UK or European based brands. You can sell in the UK, you can sell in the US. And there's actually a huge advantage that anyone in the UK especially has. If you get set up to, which is very easy to do, you can get set up to sell on Amazon.com as well as .co.uk. A great strategy is so many brands in the US don't have a great European presence, and they would love to have that. They would love to have a partner in Europe that can help bring their brand more recognition there, or to at least have them help improve their listings, or even list products that aren't listed in Europe for them. So you can negotiate deals with American companies where you can say, hey, if you'll let me sell your product on the US marketplace, where it's, you know, generating a real amount of sales and you can earn a real amount of money from it. I can bring your product over to .co.uk, or I can enhance your listings on the Amazon platform and on .co.uk, where it's sold all throughout Europe, and help you build more recognition in Europe. And they would be thrilled to have that. They don't, so many brands in the US don't have any kind of legit European partners or European Amazon sellers, right? So it's a huge advantage that you guys have as well, to be able to work with US companies. They really, really want things like that. So anyway, so that's one negotiation point, right, that you have automatically. But typically what it looks like is, I can tell you the story of the first, how we figured out reverse sourcing wholesale, right? And that's a great, I think that's a good way to understand what brands are looking for and how you do this. So my business partner, Dan, we had been trying to do the regular wholesale for a while, and it was not working out. We were trying to order from, go through wholesale catalogs. And I remember there was one specific time we went through a big wholesale catalog spreadsheet and spent like 9 hours going through it. And we only found one product that was profitable, and you only made 46 cents a unit. It was pretty disheartening. You know, we could sell like 4 or 5 units a day or something like that. So it was just wasted 9 hours trying to find something in that big wholesale catalog. So then we thought, like, okay, what we'll do is we'll go to trade shows. That's got to work, right? So we fly to Las Vegas for the biggest trade show in the United States called ASD, where it's 3 million square feet. And there's just all these vendors. And you walk from vendor to vendor trying to talk to them, right? And try to get interest in their product, see if you can make money up with it on Amazon. And that was a total bust. We're not great at face-to-face chats with companies, so it didn't go over very well. And while we were there, we felt like, to justify our trip, that we had to purchase some product, and we did, and that didn't work out. So that was disheartening as well. We lost money there. So Dan was really frustrated, and he was sitting in his office, and he was just like, you know, just like this, like, just grab something off of his desk. And he's just like, why can't I just sell this if I wanted to? Why is it so hard? Why do I have to go all over kingdom come to try to find this product? What wholesaler or distributor carries it? It's so difficult. And he said, and he just thought to himself, God, I'm just going to call the company that owns this product and see if they'll tell me where I can buy it. And so like, he tries that. He calls the company. You know, it wasn't a calculator, but it was just a thing that was sitting on his desk. Our very first wholesale account is what, as it turns out, he calls, he looks them up on Google and calls the company, finds their phone number, calls them and says, hey, can you guys, I'd really like to be able to purchase your product and resell it on Amazon. Can you guys just tell me like who your distributor is, who your wholesaler is? And, they said, well, we could, or, we could just sell it to you direct. And Dan was like, do what? You can't. He didn't even realize that was like a real thing, right? And then he's thinking, oh man, it's this minimum order. They're going to want to charge $10,000 for me to be able to buy from them. And he asks what the minimum order is, and they said $250. And he's like, yeah, send me over a price sheet. And they send the price sheet, and we're making like a 30% ROI based on just the price sheet that they sent, right? Being able to sell like, you know, 40 or 50 or 60 units a month of this product. And it was that, and it was like, that was the epiphany. Dan was like, oh crap. Now I'm just, it's like, so he, that's when, let's like, that's how we figured it out. It was kind of like by accident. And so Dan decided, we're just going to call every company. We're just going to call every brand directly from here on out. We're just going to go on Amazon, find products, call these brand owners, and see what they say. So we start doing that. So we call like 70, 80 companies direct, right? And we see a common theme. It didn't go as well as the first one. Every brand that we call after that, they're just like, yep, we've got enough Amazon sellers, or we're not taking any more Amazon sellers. So no, thank you. And at the time we didn't know any better. So we were just being like, oh, okay. And we would move on to the next. And then we started getting frustrated again because we weren't having any success like that first one we got lucky with. And then there's a pivotal moment that changed everything for us, where Dan had emailed a company trying to open a wholesale account. And they said, no, they denied us. They're not accepting any more Amazon sellers. And he just thought to himself, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep trying and just see if I can convince them otherwise. So he calls them. He calls the company, and the owner of the company answers the phone. Now, I want to be clear on something. Another important thing, when I said the owner of the company, owner of the brand he called, answered the phone. The majority of the brands that we sell, we do millions of dollars in sales every year. Many of our students do millions of dollars in sales every year. The majority of the brands that we sell are products and brands that you have definitely never heard of. They're all small to medium-sized companies, you know, small businesses, companies that are 6 or 7 employees, maybe total. They just do a few million dollars in sales each year, but they have a strong Amazon presence. There are literally hundreds of thousands of brands like that online. So it's always a small company. So it's great. Dan calls and he got the owner on the phone. That's who answered the phone because it's just a small company. And Dan says, hey, I sent you an email. You guys said you weren't accepting any more Amazon sellers, and I just wanted to give you guys a call to talk about that. And the owner of the company said, yep, we did say that, and we meant it. So it's just like, oh, shoot. He's being pretty aggressive about it, right? And then, but Dan's like, yeah, I understand, man. I just all I wanted to do was just, I found some product problems with your product online on Amazon. And I just wanted to give you some feedback, let you know about these problems, and maybe you can get them fixed, or maybe your current Amazon sellers can fix them for you. And then the guy gets a little bit more interested. He's like, okay, all right, I'm willing to hear you out. And so Dan says, if you can go to your listing on Amazon for me, if you can pull that up. And he says, yep, I'm there. And he said, and then Dan says, I want you to pull up this other company. This is one of your major competitors, if you can pull them up. And he tells them, you know, the name of the company. And the guy says, yep, I definitely know them. They are a competitor of ours. And Dan asks, so in retail, in physical retail, how do you guys compare against this company? And he's like, oh, we're much bigger than them. Our product is much better. We beat them and have for years. And Dan says, all right, we'll check out their listing on Amazon. And the guy goes to his competitor's listing on Amazon. And he says, the first things out of his mouth, the first word is wow, because what he's looking at, he's seeing that his competitor's listing is infinitely superior to his own company's. Has a full suite of great photos. His product only had one photo. They had lifestyle photos of their product. His had none of that. They had an amazing title, copy, bullets, description. Everything that, you know, more reviews. They just had a fully fleshed out, fantastic looking listing. And the guy was like, so even though that his product is superior, his competition had a superior listing. So he was already starting to see like, oh, there's a lot of things on Amazon that we're not doing that we could be doing. And then Dan says, scroll down the page a bit for me, if you can, and look at your competitor's bestseller rank. And then he shows the guy his bestseller rank, and he shows him his competitor's bestseller rank. And then he shows him the Jungle Scout data, right? The sales per month for the product. And he sees that his competitor on Amazon is outselling him 3-1. So, like, you know, so in physical retail, he probably outsells that guy 10-1, but on Amazon, he gets outsold 3-1. And that was the moment where he was like, oh, so like, there's a lot that we're not doing on Amazon that we could be, and we need some help. Because at the beginning of the call, and I forgot to mention this, he told Dan, we've got two of the largest Amazon sellers in the United States currently selling our products. What could you possibly do for me that they can't do? And Dan, and at the end of the call, Dan reminded him of that and said, there's nothing that we can do that they couldn't do for you, but they haven't done it. He said, to them, you're just a number. You're just account number 945. And to me, you would be my highest priority. You'd be my second wholesale account. And I can go in here and start making these changes and upgrades to your listing immediately so that we can start beating your competitor in sales. And the guy gave Dan the wholesale account on the spot. And we've sold it for years and made tens of thousands of dollars in profit off that account.
Love that story. I just want to reflect on a few of the things that are so fantastic about that. I mean, first of all, what you just said at the end, I think is really important, because there's a big fear for a lot of us. And I still have this. I'm not running a multi-million dollar Amazon business. So whenever I approach someone, I'm fearful of being told that, you know, I'm not significant enough, that I'm not real enough, whatever. So you've repositioned the fact that you only have two accounts that you're working with is a great strength. And I guess it is, because you're going to take massive care of those, right? So first of all, super smart. And that's great reassurance for those of us starting off on a small base or even starting from scratch. And the second thing is, I love the fact that if you just use the reality of the Amazon platform that nobody else is going to argue with, and I guess a third-party tool, in this case Jungle Scout, you're arguing based on facts, so you don't have to be kind of all about you. It's all about the listings, right? So I really, for me, that removes two of the fears that I would have going into this. I love that. I mean, there's a lot of other great detail as well, but I really, that's fantastic. You kind of flipped the situation on its head.
Yeah,
from what I would anticipate.
Yeah, it's just about copy. It's about sales strategy, human psychology, and that sort of stuff that we've got really good at, and we've taught people how to get better at sales and understand those kind of conversations. When you're small and you're new, that's the kind of strategy that we use then, because everyone has to, every multi-million dollar reverse sourcing wholesale company like ours, I had to get started at one point. You had to get your first account, your second account, and your third account, right? And there's a lot of ways to do that. That was one of the ways that we did it. We positioned it as, we have this knowledge, we know what to do. Other people aren't doing it for you, and we can add value to you right now. And we would just show them the value that we could add, what the results could be, and tell them, even, you know, and we were just honest and upfront about it, that they would be a high priority account for us, and they approved us. Today it's different. So I've just changed the copy. Today we are one of those big sellers now. We are a multi-million dollar seller. And so I can't go around saying that exact stuff. Instead, I have had to change your copy a bit, but I talk about how we do have more resources. We do have more ability. We do have a bit stronger connections with Amazon directly. We do have all these things that no one else can supply, based on the size and the strength of our business, right? So I've just evolved our copy as our business has grown over time, because I can't say I'm the small guy anymore. I have to use leverage that I'm the big guy, but the big guy that'll still take care of him, right? And that's just what it's all about. You just have to, wherever you're at, you change your strategy that best fits for what you have going on. Yeah, so I'm glad you picked up on that.
It sounds like basically what you're doing is you're scouting on Amazon for brands that have a very challenged listing, but they're basically still good products. So I guess one of the things we don't have to do is go to China and source products, which is a great relief if you're used to doing that for a private label. But how we still got the question of deciding what to sell. So how do you basically decide out of the whole catalog of 500 million or products or whatever it is that Amazon has now,
on
earth to focus on? Because that's a perennial problem for anyone who sells anything on Amazon. Like, where do I go? Too much choice. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, and it's great. We teach this pretty in depth in our free workshop that's going on right now. It ends tomorrow, but it's up right now. Michael, I mean, you'll share the link with everybody. I'm sure they'll have access to that so they can check it out.
It'll be amazingfba.com/TWF. I'll put it in the Facebook group comments as well.
Yeah. And so basically what we do is we go to Amazon and we have a pretty simple set of criteria, right? We have that the product is not being sold by Amazon. That's one of the criteria, because Amazon's very difficult to compete with as a seller. It's their platform. They break the rules, obviously, right? So you don't want to sell things that Amazon themselves, their retail department, is selling. You want it to be typically, this can vary. This depends on person to person, but for newer sellers or people just getting into it, you want the price to be at least $20, the selling price of the product. That just gives you some extra wiggle room. When you have more experience with Amazon, you can learn how to sell products cheaper than $20. You figure out how to make it work. But for newbies, it's generally best to products priced over $20. And then the last couple criteria is that there is a minimum of three sellers, at least three people selling the product. That what that does is it eliminates private label products, because private label brands, right? They're not going to work with you. They're not, you know, necessarily like legit retail companies. They're typically just people that own their own company, run their business out of their own house or whatever. So they don't have real wholesale opportunities. So it eliminates those, and it eliminates products that already have exclusive selling rights with a different seller, because that's a legal contract. You're not going to be able to convince those companies to sell to you, because they're legally binded to sell to another Amazon seller. So if there's three or more sellers, that tells you that they are open and allowing other retailers to sell their product, so that it just increases the likelihood that they'll be able to work with us. And then the last thing is our little mathematic formula, where you can look at the people that are currently selling the product. And everyone that is all the FBA, all the prime sellers that are priced within 2% of the buy box, those are the people that are eligible to be getting sales of the buy box. Those are your competitive sellers. So you can take the Jungle Scout sales per month and then divide that by the number of people that are priced within 2% of that buy box price, and then add yourself. And then that's going to tell you about how many units that you're going to be able to sell of that product a month. And we generally have a minimum of, you know, this is also flexible. We'd like to be selling a product at least 30 to 40 times a month for it to make sense for us. Many products we sell hundreds, multiple hundreds of times a month, right? And then that's it. That's our criteria. When something passes those criteria, we're going to reach out to the company and try to open up an account with them. And it's on average, our profit margin at the multi-million dollar level is 18% on wholesale accounts. And so you may be thinking like, well, that sounds particularly low, but I can assure you that it's actually very, like, it's 18% is very good when you consider the speed of return of investment, right? When you compare it to other kinds of higher profit margin, this is a good business lesson for people, right? Like when you think about Amazon now, they did about $300 billion in revenue for 2019, and a staggering number, a ridiculous number. Their profit margin is only like 2%.
Famously, that's quite high for Amazon. I mean, they famously run at almost no profit margin. It's absolutely crazy how Jeff Bezos has sold the stock market on that idea for 25 years now.
Right.
Absolutely insane.
But it's about speed of a return on investment for us. So let's think about it this way. Private label can be a fantastic business model as well, especially when you're successful with it. But I'm just going to kind of compare the difference in high margin versus the speed of investment on a lower margin. All right. So with the private label product, right, you may be able to, from the moment that you scout it out, that you decide that you want to sell this product, you go through the whole process of purchasing it or identifying a supplier, purchasing it, getting all the branding set up, the page set up, all of the marketing for it. It gets to wherever you are, you're able to list it and host it on Amazon before you actually get the product live, landed, and selling on Amazon. It can take what, months, 2-3 months, right? Like that would be,
I mean, to be honest, 2-3 months from what point? I mean, you mean from the point you've actually placed the order, or
since you started researching?
Oh no, from research, more typically 6 to 9 months, to be honest. Sure. I mean, 2 to 3 months would be super fast. Most people are just not that efficient.
Yeah, sure. So it can be 6 to 9 months to be able to get the product live from the moment that you try to find it, right?
Yeah.
And then you actually have, sometimes you have like a part where it's not very profitable in the beginning because you're running more advertising for it. But eventually you get to that point where you have a profit margin that's like 50% or 100%, right? Like that's the ultimate goal. It takes some time to get there. With wholesale, you're able to, from the moment that you sit down and scout, it can take you, you know, 2 or 3 hours to find a brand and call them and get approved. And then you can order that day. They'll ship it that day and it'll be in Amazon's warehouses. Your order, you'll order a 30-day supply. It'll be in Amazon's warehouse and selling live on Amazon a week later. You'll sell out of your 30-day supply in 30 days. And then you'll have all that money back. Whatever you invested, if you invested $1,000 and so about a margin like ours, let's say it's about a 30% ROI, right? So it means if you invested $1,000 that week, a month later, you get a $1,300 back that you can reinvest again, right? So it's you're getting money back faster, and then you can reinvest it again and you snowball the money. So the margin is lower, but the speed in which that you get it back and reinvest it again is so much faster that you can outpace higher margins with faster selling product, faster return on investment, reinvest it again.
And this is this is why I really, really wanted to get your guys' message out there, because I've been casting around for years for a way to reduce the risk when you're starting off creating an Amazon business. And I think that this does so many things in one go. For starters, you're risking a much smaller amount of money. The barrier to entry for somebody who wants to get into it is lower financially. You've still got the barrier of having to approach brand owners and be intelligent about that. So I like the fact there's a barrier to entry, but I like the fact also it's not, because I have to have tens of thousands in my pocket. But also, I think what you've said about cash flow is absolutely critical. People are always talking about return on investment and profit margin, but neither of those have a time component in them. So ROI is all very well, but if I get 100% ROI, that sounds fantastic, but it takes me 10 years to sell through a product to get that return. That's terrible. And there are literally products I've worked with where the business owner, I looked them in the face and said, at this rate of sale, you will literally have got 10 years stock. You need to get out. So I love the fact that you've brought up that time component, because I think that's the single most missing component in all the sort of financial conversations around Amazon. So that's really the bit that gets me excited, because yeah. I just think that that cash flow turnover is just not talked about enough. And it's the single biggest problem you got to solve in business, in a capital intensive business like this anyway.
Yeah. And another part about it is the low risk, because the fact that you're dealing with brands that already have a presence and they're already successful. So there's so little risk involved, right? So we're talking about when we open an account with a brand owner, this is an established company. Sometimes this business has maybe been around 60, 70 years. Maybe it's just 20 years, maybe it's just 10 years, but it doesn't matter. They're an established company and there's demand for their products. So there's no situation where I make a wholesale order and I can't sell the inventory. Every time I buy, I'm 100% guaranteed to be able to sell all the product because there's a sustained demand for it. I'm not building demand for a product. I'm not starting products from scratch. I'm not building brands from scratch. I'm just selling existing. I'm just tapping in. I'm a retailer. I'm just selling stuff that's already selling and I'm trying to help them and make it even better. So I have just like this bottom, like the worst the wholesale deal can go, like an absolute disaster of a deal is I have to sell it at a 10% loss. Like that's, so like if I sold $1,000 worth of product, I get $900 back. Like that's as bad as it can be almost. So it's very little risk.
I really like that. I think the thing about it that is very different from private label is that with private label, you're looking to try and find an established niche or keyword driven demand that you can say with fair certainty, if you use the right tools and the right approach, there is a solid evidence of sales based around that set of keywords. Having said that, though, there's no proof that your particular version of a product that answers that keyword demand is A, going to get ranked, because that's getting hard and, as you say, expensive, and B, if it does, people will actually buy it. I mean, if you get it right, as you said, it can be a fantastic business model. But if you get it wrong, it's high risk. And by the way, I just want to point something out as well, because people very, for whatever reason, in the Amazon world, they tend to be obsessed with retail arbitrage or wholesale or private label. But most of the time, they don't seem to cross over. And I know three very successful guys in my masterminds who've been selling on a wholesale model, in some cases for 20 years, in one case for 10, another for 6 or 7. And they've been in business that time profitably. Most of the time, it's their full-time business or a substantial income stream. And they are now looking to add private label to the mix. Yeah. So I don't think it has to be either or, but those guys are coming on with substantial capital with cash flow that means that if their private label product bombs, they are fine. The business will continue as it was before. So I really want to point out also this dichotomy that people place up is artificial. I think you need to be aware of where you're at in your business and what your real situation is, you know. So
yeah, and we're doing private label too. We do it now. We didn't start with private label, but the success of the wholesale business able to finance some private label products for us. We've got we started in December a new product, the private label product. It's actually ranked like 2,300 consistently in the toys and games category in the US. We're selling like literally 50 and 60 units every single day. And it's amazing. And it's because we've been able to, we can afford to do it. What we've learned through selling wholesale over the years has enabled us to have that private label product. So yeah, we're diversified in that same way now, but the success of our Amazon business has allowed us to diversify in a lot more ways than just that. So another thing to talk about is our business is how scalable it is. It's scalable in the same way that a private label business can be, right? Because Dan and I, my business partner and me, we don't work in it day to day really anymore. We have a multi-million dollar business that we only have to work a few hours a week in. And I know like a lot of people say that shit and they're lying, but it's certainly very true for us, because we used to work 40 and 50 and 60 hours a day, a week, of course, to build it to this point. But we had financial success to where we could start hiring. Right. Our first hire in our business was only cost us $3 an hour because it was a virtual assistant from the Philippines. In the Philippines, English is an official language. The minimum wage in the Philippines is like $1.25 an hour. And we just, more than doubled that and paid our first employee $3 an hour, got a high level employee that could work remotely and do the scouting, send out emails and help manage our Amazon account. So we had a high-level employee for $3 an hour to help take away a lot of the work that we had to do on a daily basis. And then we hired another virtual assistant when we could afford it. And then we hired two domestic employees that would you know, call brands and work with brands on a daily basis and manage our Amazon account to the point now where we just kind of own the business and it runs because there is a team now. That's what we've been able to do, which has enabled us to do things like private label, which has enabled us to do things like investment real estate. Dan and I bought 5 houses cash in the last 6 months and now rent them out, right? And then we refied them, and now we'll reinvest that money in more properties. So we're, you know, like we own a web services company. We do own so many things now that the Amazon business has enabled us to do and create because of its that original success.